This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, January 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For many workers, the pandemic has been all about adjustments, working from home, finding a work-life balance, and for many, taking on a hybrid work schedule, you know, mixing a few days in the office with a few days from home. So, how's it all working out?
More people value flexible hours than they do over flexible locations. So, you know, where they get to work from. But the numbers are still really high on both accounts.
So how does that square with what managers want? And how have people's expectations about their pay changed? Our reporter Katie Binley has been tracking worker sentiment, and we'll talk with her about it after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Recent surveys of workers nationwide show that hybrid work schedules are popular with employees, but that flexibility has raised new questions about employee pay and advancement opportunities, and what work schedules are likely to look like post-pandemic. WSJ reporter Katie Binley has been looking into this, and she joins me now. Hey, Katie, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Thanks for having me.
So, Katie, we've seen a lot of companies institute hybrid work schedules, or a mix of days in the office and at home, but for many companies, it's been a while to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen is, you know, there were sort of these windows of hope, you know, throughout the pandemic of, okay, you know, we think you guys are going to start coming back over the summer or in the fall. And it's just gotten pushed back so many times that I think it's led to, you know, more companies coming around to the idea that, you know, maybe we're just going to have to make do with, you know, remote work and hybrid arrangements because, you know, a full back in the office date is just has been kind of getting less realistic for a lot of companies.
So, you know, it's been about 2 years now that people have been working from home and now adding in some kind of hybrid arrangement. What do we know about what kind of arrangements workers are most interested in?
Well, so what's interesting about this is that this survey that we looked at found that more people value flexible hours than they do over flexible locations. So, you know, where they get to work from. But the numbers are still really high on both accounts. So I think it was 95% of people surveyed want flexible hours compared to 78% of people who want location flexibility. So really, you know, across the board, what people care about is having some say in when they work and where they work or where they work from rather. And another interesting aspect of this is that 70% of the knowledge workers who were surveyed who said they weren't happy with the level of flexibility said that they're likely to look for a new job in the next year. So, I mean, basically, the moral of the story is that if, you know, companies aren't willing to give them flexibility, that you have some potential flight risks there.
And how has all this affected people's expectations regarding pay?
So there's some interesting research from Nick Bloom, who's an economist at Stanford University, and he's found that on average, people value the flexibility to work from home 2 days a week at about a 7% pay increase. So really, I mean, flexibility in some cases for people is worth, you could put it this way, it's worth a pay cut to them also because they're going to be saving money in other ways. You know, if you're not commuting in every day, you're going to be saving money. There's a chance that you could save some money on childcare. So for a lot of people, it's actually worth it to them to have their salary decrease a little bit if they were to have, you know, the flexibility to work from home.
How do people working from home or from the office a few days a week say these pandemic-inspired arrangements have affected their work productivity?
people's productivity has continued to go up. So those in hybrid and remote arrangements, they're seeing, you know, these percentage increases each quarter in how productive they feel they're doing and how productive they feel they are in their jobs. And also they're feeling better about stress and anxiety, and their work-life balance has gone up as well.
But some executives are still concerned about how hybrid work could affect the rank and file. Why is that?
Yeah, so there are concerns about equity among employees when it comes to hybrid work. So there's previous research that has shown that sort of the less face time in the office, that can negatively impact people's upward mobility with regard to promotions and also with respect to pay. And this most recent survey that I looked at from the Future Forum, they've found that working mothers, women, and people of color are more likely to prefer flexible working arrangements. So there's concerns among executives, essentially, that groups that are more likely to opt into flexible arrangements, you know, are at risk of having some of these negative effects on promotions and pay. And so they're kind of trying to strategize how to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Now, looking beyond the pandemic, what do the survey results tell us about what the work schedule might look like in the post-pandemic era?
Yeah, so core working hours are catching on across many industries. So it's this idea of, okay, you know, let's say you're on a specific team and your manager would effectively tell you, like, hey guys, we all need to be available between 9:30 and 1 p.m. So that's when you'd be expected to be available to jump on a call, have a huddle with your team or whatever, and just be available to collaborate. And then outside of those hours, you would be handling your individual work and sort of managing your time as you see fit, you know, provided you meet whatever deadlines you have. But it would just be this idea that, you know, everyone be free at certain times to work on things together. And then there is this flexibility to be able to say, you know, go pick up your kids from school, go to a soccer game, whatever it is you want to do, and then maybe sign back in later if you need to wrap up your individual work.
So could hybrid work arrangements be here to stay?
That's what everyone's saying. It is, I don't know, that professor I mentioned, Nick Bloom from Stanford, did talk about some of the challenges of hybrid with respect to sort of employees getting to choose which days they work from home versus their employer telling them when they need to come in or work from home. And that basically most employees want to get to decide, you know, okay, I work from home on these days and I come into the office on these days. But when you don't have coordination among employees, then you end up with, on any given day, you know, there might be very few people in the office, and then like the whole energy of the office is off, or it's just, you know, people shouting into laptops. And so his point was basically just that there's this tension between what's most effective as far as how to run an organization and from a, you know, workflow and culture perspective versus what employees actually want. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there and if more companies will end up dictating which days people do have to go in, or if they will, you know, continue to let them choose and then run into some of these issues that, you know, that I just mentioned.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley. Katie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.